The man who found the Titanic says he's discovered another legendary lost craft, much smaller than the ocean liner, but almost as tantalizing. 2 months ago, underwater explorer Robert Ballard led a National Geographic expedition to the Solomon Islands in the Western Pacific. They were searching for PT-109, John F. Kennedy's World War II Navy torpedo boat. A Japanese destroyer rammed and sank it in August 1943. U.S. naval experts confirm that the wreckage found by Ballard almost certainly is that of Kennedy's boat. For the latest radio expedition, NPR's Neil Conan was aboard Ballard's search vessel.
We're aboard the Grey Scout, a ship that usually works the waters around Australia on fishing charters. Posters taped to the walls of the ship's main cabin explain the limits on grouper, parrotfish, and sweetlip. But this trip, the Grey Scout is after bigger game.
We know that the PT boat was a boat, so it's got to be in the water. So it really can, it's not a very large area. I think our total search area is, 35 miles? But the big thing is it's also a very small target, and that's the bugaboo.
There is some spectacular scenery just outside this hot, crowded cabin. Gorgeous coral reefs and clean, sparkling water, and a magnificent island called Kolumbangara, an extinct volcano draped in jungle green and mist that rises 6,000 feet above the water. Robert Ballard and his crew ignore the sun-drenched paradise and cover the windows so they can see their computer screens.
Then we need to plot up an aerial distribution of them so that we can see where they cluster so we can get to them efficiently.
Yeah, we'll compile a database.
Ballard and his principal assistant, Dwight Coleman, are working through a library of targets, images from a side-scan sonar. After days of patient search, the electronic picture they've developed shows a major problem. Most of the bottom here is littered with geology, rocks that tumbled down the slopes of the volcano, big chunks of coral. Almost all of the promising sonar targets are in amongst that clutter. You could hide 100 PT boats down there, Ballard moans. But one target sits out all by its lonesome on a nice sandy bottom.
Now, the problem is when you look where it is, it's not bad, but it's a little further south than I would suspect.
There's another problem. The history books say that PT-109 was cut in half when it was rammed. If that's right, the stern would have gone down like a stone. And from naval records, they're pretty sure it would have landed in the middle of all of those rocks. Dale Ritter, the military expert that Ballard's brought along, has a different idea. The slice theory, he calls it. Say that the bow of the destroyer hit PT-109 at an angle, not dead on, and sheared off the starboard side. That would explain why the gas tanks and torpedoes didn't explode. It would also mean that the bow section the survivors clung to after the collision wasn't just wood. It would have guns and engines and torpedo tubes, metal parts that show up well on sonar. Ballard makes a critical decision. This target can't be the stern, but if the slice theory is right, it might just be the bow. There's only one way to find out. Out on the deck of the Grey Scout, the crew prepares to launch two submersibles that will work in tandem. Argus is what they call a sled. It's a frame of metal pipes with lights and television cameras bolted on. It's towed behind the ship, and then on a tether behind Argus is Little Hercules, a sleek, sophisticated vehicle which has lights and cameras of its own and a set of maneuvering thrusters. When they get down to the bottom, 1,200 feet below, Argus will scout, and when its cameras pick up the target, Little Herc will scoot ahead for the close-ups. But almost as soon as Argus is gently lowered into the water, there's a glitch. A critical element overheats. The vehicles will have to be winched back on deck for frustrating hours of tests. While we're waiting, Bob Ballard explains that it's just as important to him to tell John F. Kennedy's story as it is to find his boat.
A young guy, clearly from a very wealthy family, very powerful family, and he chose to be a PT boat skipper. He didn't have to do that. And to come in here in the pitch of night to take on the Tokyo Express, to have his boat ran over, and then to gallantly, I mean, really, to swim in the open ocean, dragging a wounded crew member in his teeth. I think that really made him the person that he became president.
Are you at all worried? Since you discovered Titanic, it has become an object of exploitation. Could the same thing happen to PT-109?
Absolutely not. PT-109, unlike the Titanic, is a ship of war. And a ship of war is forever the property of our country. So PT-109 belongs to the United States, and it's against the law to do anything to it.
With the search temporarily suspended for repairs, the day trippers of the expedition head to shore. There are only so many bunks aboard the Grey Scout, and the rest of us stay in a hotel on the island of Gizo. Tonight, what looks to be the entire population of a nearby village arrives to perform. Babes in arms and grandmothers and teenagers. They wear skirts made from split leaves and crowns of flowers. Dancers take turns out in front. In the back, the older men sit around a low table and drum out the rhythm. The next morning, when we return to the Grey Scout, the glitch has been fixed. With a tired smile, Ballard says that Argus and Little Herc dove on two targets last night, a Japanese destroyer that sank in an American minefield, and that intriguing target all by itself out on the sand.
And so what you're getting here, and we're marching along, and we're seeing these huge, giant sand waves, some of them, you know, 5-10 meters tall, much taller than the PT boat. And then sticking out of the side of one of them, we find this torpedo launcher and torpedo. But the rest of it is inside the sand dune. So now the question is, and this is sort of not, this, we now hand it over to the experts and say, well, is that PT-109 we're looking at? Out of my hands. I've done my job.
Weapons expert Dale Ritter isn't quite sure at first. The pictures show a broken torpedo tube in the sand and impossibly vivid fish swimming by. Shaking his head, he leaves to consult his reference books. Then, a few minutes later, he bursts into the darkened room.
We have it! We have it! I have no doubt whatsoever now. We have it.
Are there any other PT boats that sank in this area?
No. The only one even close was sunk well south of Ferguson Passage by U.S. aircraft the week before. There was no other PT boat the entire war except PT-109. This is in the right spot. This is where I thought we had the best chance of finding it. This is it. This is it.
As if to assuage lingering doubts, Ballard sits Dale in front of the TV monitors again and shows him more pictures.
This is 109.
No doubt.
No doubt, this is 109. Everything matches all the way down the line.
Yeah. All righty.
Well, doggone, this is an absolute match.
PT-109 has been found. For Radio Expeditions, this is Neil Conan reporting from Blackett Strait in the Solomon Islands.
Yesterday, experts confirmed the discovery is almost certainly PT-109. The wreck would have to be salvaged to remove any doubt, and the Navy prefers to leave it as it is.